Welcome to DCEKG, where we diagnose Washington's policy issues and prescribe needed solutions. Join your hosts, Eric Euland and Joe Grogan, along with leading in-the-room experts, as they shine a light on the black box of DC and break down healthcare issues and policy areas that shape healthcare.
Welcome to DCEKG. This is co-host Eric Euland with a special episode of DCEKG. We're going to focus on artificial intelligence, AI, not just a Steven Spielberg movie, but public policy challenges that are omnipresent today. In this episode, we'll talk a little bit about AI and its application to healthcare. And what we did as a twist was ask an AI generative intelligence to actually create questions about AI in healthcare. So these lightning round questions will be relatively succinct, brought to you by artificial intelligence and attempted to be answered by Intelligence 1.0, a software brain of Eric Euland. So with that, let's get underway with our first question in the lightning round of AI on AI. First question from AI. The data suggests that these AI agents outperform human nurses in various tasks. What implications does this have for the future of healthcare staffing and resource allocation? Listeners of the show know that amongst many things I've done in my public career here in Washington, D.C., I spent a lot of time on Capitol Hill working with healthcare professionals in a variety of formats, including nurses. I think the first thing that I know nurses would be pretty insistent on pointing out is that one of the most significant implications of bringing AI into the nursing arena will be whether or not an appropriate balance can be struck between the human role of nurses working with patients and working with doctors and some of the valuable additions that AI might be able to bring to the conversation or information, both as patients are brought into the system, as patients are worked with, as therapies and prescriptions are written, as health is being monitored and tracked, and hopefully people are able to improve their health. I'm also the son of a nurse. I grew up hearing many stories from my mom about her work and her efforts on behalf of her patients. So I think, too, as well, nurses would also point out how strong they are as true advocates and, in many cases, the only direct expert on the scene on behalf of patients who, moment to moment, have the clearest view of patients' health, the challenges that they face, and at times, the direct action that needs to be taken, even if it's in contradiction to what the book might say or what doctors have prescribed and put on the chart before they walked out of the room. So as a start, I think a lot of folks in Washington, D.C. and Capitol Hill will be hearing that perspective when it comes to the future of healthcare staffing and resource allocation. First, just talking a lot about and thinking about, hey, where actually is that value add for nurses? And whether or not that gets pushed aside should really be an intense level of focus for policymakers around town. The second question that AI is generated for AI, how do current regulatory frameworks address the specific role of AI bots as healthcare workers, considering their potential impact on patient care and safety? This is a great question, AI. Thank you very much for asking it. The non-AI answer is we don't do that very well, much at all. There is a significant amount of concern about the significant lack and absence of these sorts of considerations already underway as people begin to evaluate the power of the efficacy of using AI in the healthcare arena. And AI certainly has been pitched as a way to empower healthcare providers with more knowledge, more expertise, more understanding, and ultimately more appropriate treatments for patients. But at the moment, there is little discussion about that balance between patient care and safety that AI asked about. And I know that policymakers in Washington are going to want to put that front and center in the conversations going forward. Great question, AI. Thank you very much. AI question number three. Are there regulatory distinctions between AI bots and traditional healthcare professionals, and how are they reflected in oversight mechanisms? AI, this feels very similar to AI question number two, but I get it. You're perhaps concerned that in a patient's room shows up a human nurse along with a robot nurse, and whether or not both those are treated equally or separately when it comes to thinking about the impact on and the help provided to patients, as well as in the case of the human nurse who he or she is working with, as well as a robot nurse, robot AI, working on behalf of patients, working with patients, and working inside the healthcare system. There are no oversight mechanisms that I'm aware of, and I don't think policymakers are aware of, that have been contemplated, much less in existence right now about that. So again, AI has asked a great question, something that needs to go on the list for policymakers going forward. AI question number four. And NVIDIA's Kimberly Powell emphasizes the importance of AI responding to patients as humans would. Can AI truly emulate human empathy and connection in healthcare interactions? This is a great question, not only because of what's important for patients when they're confronting robot AI versus human nurse in a situation, but it's actually been a conversation that's been multi-decades long about computer intelligence and whether or not, as the power of the computer grew and the ways that computers could be used grow, whether or not they could mimic and ultimately model human behavior in how to think and how to act and how to interact with individuals. And then now we're at the point where not can they just imitate human beings, but operate independently as human beings in some respects, in terms of agency, independent decision-making, the ability to go out and execute on behalf of the mission that they've been assigned. It's unclear, no matter what theoreticians insist, that the amount of computing power would ever be able to allow AI to fully and truly model, reflect, resemble, and in an independent way emulate that human empathy and connectivity that AI is asked about. So color me skeptical based on what's happened over the past 5 or 6 decades, as well as a lot of people putting a lot of brain power on this, computer scientists, ethicists, pioneers in the computer industry and the AI industry, all talking about this. And again, a significant gulf between an ideal of how humans behave versus the potentiality of how technology might be able to behave. Thanks, AI. Another question from AI. One notable aspect of AI-powered healthcare agents is their significantly lower operating costs compared to human nurses. How does this trade-off between cost efficiency and quality of care influence healthcare decision-making? This is a great question, AI, because pre-you, AI, these conversations have been significant and ongoing when it comes to healthcare training and ultimately healthcare provisions between humans and for humans. So as people have gone through ways of building their healthcare knowledge and sharing that at universities, through hospitals, through training programs and the like, there has been a constant discussion about whether or not the amount of information and training necessary to ultimately qualify for licensing to enter the healthcare provision field overemphasizes cost questions at the expense of patient care. Some of us who are listeners or followers of DCEKG lived through the HMO penetration into the healthcare market in the 1990s and the significant public concern that many had, that HMOs, which were billed as a cost-saving way of providing health care, would put cost too much at the forefront at the expense of human care. We've all watched over the past several years the fight over pharmacy benefit managers, which again has been characterized with a lot of discussion about whether or not an individual and separate group of businesses are in any way potentially getting in the way between what doctors and healthcare providers believes best for patients and what actually is allowed to be prescribed and therapies allowed to be given to individuals. Last point, in the past couple of years, of course, and we've talked about this a lot on our show, DCEKG, conversations about the so-called Inflation Reduction Act and its new methodology of demanding that pharmaceutical companies negotiate with the federal government about the best price or the maximum price that it would be allowed to charge for Medicare and veterans health charge to Medicare and veterans health programs of the federal government. As we've discussed before, that will have a significant impact on development of therapies for disease and quality of life that over time could remove opportunities for individuals to live a full and robust and long life. So, AI, you've asked yet another very powerfully important question and something that I think is going to be at the forefront of policymakers' brains when they finally grapple with this issue in the near future. AI, you have another question right after this where you asked, are there potential ethical concerns surrounding the prioritization of cost-saving measures over patient care? Let me answer that in two words. Hail yes. There is a significant amount of ethical concerns if prioritizing cost-saving measures over patient care implicate the ability of patient care to be prioritized and optimized as you go through the process of providing care and assistance and therapies to those who present to the healthcare system. There's no question, as we've talked with experts on DCEKG here over the past few years with the show, about some of the significant cost pressures on some of the largest healthcare programs in the United States, both at the federal level and how states have had to try to manage their Medicaid systems. But cost savings, many policymakers constantly conclude, should not come at the expense of high quality patient care. And I would imagine that when policymakers again begin to discuss this, there is going to be no doubt in my mind that they're going to be putting questions about the trade-off between using AI in order to reduce costs, having a consequence of reducing patient safety and well-being, quality of care at the forefront of their conversation. AI, you asked another question. How do regulatory bodies verify the competency and reliability of AI bots in delivering healthcare services while prioritizing patient safety and quality of care? AI, I think this is a great question because while I've talked about earlier the very, very surface level scraping of these issues that is going on in Washington, D.C., that indeed there are people thinking about this is also an important fact that folks should remember. While Congress and members of Congress are very interested in the questions of AI and the potential use of it down the line and building the right regulatory structure about how AI can be developed and ultimately deployed, the federal government and the executive branch too is beginning to think more seriously about how or if there are ways to think about building appropriate structures to evaluate the power, the strength, the efficacy of AI in relation not just to the overall healthcare programs, as we've talked about a little bit earlier, but as well, really critically, the importance of ensuring that patients, the people who are covered by these programs, are not lost in the shuffle, not lost in the excitement of suddenly having easily available and quickly deployable AI that might result in certain outcomes over time, but threaten the quality and the efficacy of care that's being provided for patients and making sure they continue to be safe. Again, longtime folks in Washington, D.C. and listeners of D.C. EKG, remember about 20 years ago when we saw in the health community a significant exploration of gene therapy. And in the excitement around gene therapy, I think we all remember a terrible incident where a young individual was injected with a potential therapy, and that potential therapy killed the patient. And, you know, some scientists attempted to defend that as, you know, part of the process of the scientific method. But most people in Washington, D.C., myself included, as well as I think a lot of folks in the United States, thought that was a terrible, terrible example of the lack of heed about moving ahead without the appropriate care and investigation and thought about whether or not humans should even be experimented on. When you are pressing the boundaries of bioethics and then going beyond those boundaries without appropriate safeguards, there's always got to be a real ethical component, and the focus on patient safety and well-being needs to be paramount. So thanks, AI. I know I went on a little longer with my answer on your question, but I thought it was a great question. So AI, I'll take your last question. How can we strike a balance between leveraging AI's potential benefits while mitigating potential risks and pitfalls? AI, that's the $64,000 question, and I like its summary nature, not only because we're near the end of our time together, DC AKG listeners, but also because it really touches on many aspects of the questions that you've asked previously and my answers as well. It's important, in fact, it will be paramount for policymakers to ensure a couple of things. One, as I think we've discussed before on the show, not taking a heavy-handed, overly regulatory and very confrontational approach about AI, because the benefits AI that you potentially could bring to the table are really important. And this is something that policymakers are very conscious of. But look, as we do this, we need to take care that the importance of the benefits that you bring and the possibilities of incredible improvements for healthcare in the United States and as well, ultimately around the globe, don't come with pitfalls or risks or terrible, terrible moments along the way that are indefensible by any of us as human beings. We have to have an AI that works well with human beings, that is focused on the best ways to optimize patient care, that can truly provide benefits and values in a way that connotes confidence amongst individuals and ensures that we are not putting technology at the forefront or at the expense of human beings and their intrinsic value, not just as fellow human beings, but as individuals created by God. So with that, AI, I really love your questions today, AI on AI with the human answer to AI questions. This is Eric Euland at DCEKG, co-host for DCEKG. I'd like to thank our friends today, including our sponsor, Survivors for Solutions, our executive producer, John C.C. Swartacki, our producer, Lauren Timmerman, our distribution partner, Big Wig Media, and our production team, Evergreen. Again, thanks as well for AI and generating AI questions for a human answer. On behalf of DCEKG, this is Eric Euland. Thanks for listening. We'll be talking.
This has been DCEKG. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review to help others find out about the show.